Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
We have no defence capabilities in the skies. That was the stark warning from the Taoiseach Micheál Martin over the weekend. He was announcing plans to invest more in defence, starting with radar. But with Trump's America becoming increasingly isolationist and our European allies ramping up defence spending and military support for Ukraine, is now the time for a step change in how this country thinks about defence? To discuss this, I'm joined by Sinn Féin TD for Cork South Central and spokesperson on defence, trade and foreign affairs, Donnacha O'Leary. Also by the Director of European Studies at Maynooth University, John O'Brennan. And you're both welcome to the programme. So John, to you first, how do we compare to other European states of a similar size when it comes to defence spending?
Good morning, Claire. Well, the data is very clear about this. We spend about 0.25% of our GDP on security and defence. It is the lowest figure of all of the European Union states. The average across Europe is 1.6%. And as you said in the introduction, in many of those states, it's actually being ramped up significantly because of the Russian threat on our eastern borders. But the best comparator, I think, is the other important neutral state in the EU, and that is Austria. The Austrians spend about four times what we spend on security and defence. And I think in the Irish context, it reflects this almost criminal neglect of defence and security, whatever the reasons for it, over many governments and over many years. I'm very glad that we're having a robust debate about this now. And I think the Taoiseach is right. We simply have to change our approach to this because the international security context has changed so dramatically in recent years.
Well, explain that to us, because there are some who would say, listening to that, well, we don't face the same threats as the countries you have mentioned who are spending more.
Well, this is entirely untrue. I accept that for reasons of geography, our sensibility about security may be different. 2 weeks ago, I spent the week in the Baltic states from Estonia into Latvia and then Lithuania. They have an entirely different sensibility, and the Russian threat is absolutely palpable. Ireland may be different, but the nature of security has changed enormously, Claire. And we know after successive incursions of Russian vessels into our territorial waters, after the malware attack on the HSE in 2021, we are incredibly vulnerable. In fact, we're increasingly viewed as the weak underbelly of European security. And I think there is immense frustration amongst many EU partners that the EU member state that has the best possible budgetary situation, the exchequer is literally overflowing with money, is still completely unwilling to spend anything like an adequate amount on its own defence and security and contribute something at least to European defence.
Okay,
security.
So Donnacha O'Leary, you heard that characterisation of us there, that our EU partners are frustrated with us. We've loads of money, but they say that we're the weak underbelly of EU security. Are they right?
Look, I mean, I think the situation is that the Defence Forces, the Permanent Defence Forces and the Reserve Defence Force are in a perilous state, in a really, really rock-bottom state. Morale is extremely low. There is no doubt but that significant investment is needed in our Defence Forces, in our personnel, in our equipment, in cybersecurity capabilities, in radar, in naval services. No doubt about it, and we are absolutely committed to that. But I have to say, and talking to people in Defence Forces, I'm from a constituency where there is a significant footprint of Defence Forces people. I grew up with people who are in the Defence Forces and who have left it. I've hurled with them, I've worked with them, and people are leaving early because of the situation that's there in terms of the workload, in terms of the support that they're getting. It is somewhat galling for them, and I've had this conversation, to hear the same dance again and again the last couple of years. High rhetoric, big speeches, people like Micheál Martin and indeed Simon Harris talking about the global picture, but the reality on the ground hasn't improved one bit. In fact, it is getting worse. Actually, more people have left the Defence Forces in the last 5 years who have entered it.
Yeah, but Donnacha, your own commitment when you presented your alternative budget for this year, you proposed increasing defence spending by €74 million. The government actually increased it by €101 million.
committed to, perhaps, but actually handed back 70 million, which they've done in each of the last few years. So they're struggling to spend it again. More people have left in the last 5 years than have joined. I would point to our manifesto, and where it says that we would increase current funding for the defences by 206.9 million and 295 million additional capital. And we would reach level of ambition two, and I'll come to that, by 2032 at the latest, and work into level of mission three, because there is a roadmap here. There is a roadmap provided by the Commission on the Future Defence Forces. There is the steps of the stairs approach. Mm-hmm. Level of ambition one, for people who aren't familiar with it, is standing still. We're below that. We're below that. So establishment is about...
Right, so you wouldn't argue then with the government's, the programme for government figure of 1.3 billion on defence spending?
What we want to do is reach level of ambition two. I don't know that the government is going to reach that. Whatever about their programme for government commitments, their track record is that more people are leaving than joining, that they're handing money back. Each of the last 3 years, they've handed money back. So we do want to see investment, particularly, and I think you have to start with the areas that were most vulnerable and that are most salient to us in terms of our situation. We don't have an adequate radar picture. Our naval capability is absolutely perilous. We've had situations where ships have been put to sea in recent years without, in recent months in fact, without an operational main gun. We don't have enough specialists to operate that. That isn't good enough, and people are leaving. People are leaving because they don't feel supportive.
Essentially, you agree with what John is saying, that we need to pour money into defence here.
Pour money implies a careless, blind approach, and I know that's not what John's saying, but just in terms of language, we want to invest strategically in the Defence Forces. We want to invest, first of all, in the men and women of the Defence Forces, ensure they're properly looked after, that it's sustainable for them to have a career in it. We want them to have equipment that they need, and we want to invest, first and foremost, in the areas that are most relevant to us. We want to ensure that our naval capability is adequate for an island nation. We only have, I think, four of one size ship and two of another. That needs to be expanded significantly. And we want to ensure that our naval picture and the cyber security, we are obviously a hub for an awful lot of tech. We need to ensure that there's greater protection, and we agree with the established cyber security command. What we don't agree with, and I will make this very clear, is walking away from our policy of neutrality. That isn't incompatible with investing properly in our defence forces. We need to do that. But I would make the point that speeches and high rhetoric that we've seen over the last 5 or 6 years, that's not going to put feet inside the doors of a barracks. In fact, we have been going backwards, and the frustration that's in the Defence Forces is enormous. And it has led to, you know, what is the Irish Defence Forces known for? It is known for a number of things, you know, specialising in things like mine clearance and so on. But ultimately, what we associate, what we are proud of, is our track record in terms of UN peacekeeping mission.
Okay.
In the last 12 months, we have withdrawn from a long-standing commitment because of underinvestment, because our Defence Forces did not have the capacity to keep up the mission in the Golan Heights,
right,
in terms of what we are all proud of,
well,
in terms of UN peacekeeping.
Let's just
missions.
Get John's view on that. The mention of neutrality, do you think that when that argument is made, John, that it becomes a barrier to investment in defence capabilities?
I think it probably does, Claire, because the simple truth is we, many people in Ireland, cling to this childish and emotional interpretation of our past and of military neutrality in that past. We were never neutral from the first day we became an independent state. And I can assure you and everybody that we are not viewed as a neutral state in Moscow and in other hostile capitals. So my argument is we have to take responsibility for our own security, as Dunica and his colleagues argue, but not just for our own security. We make our living literally as an island at the centre of the world from the European single market. And we have to be prepared to make some contribution to defending Europe, wherever those challenges might come. When I was in Estonia a few weeks ago, and Ireland is a country that's widely admired in the Baltic states and elsewhere for everything we've achieved as an independent state. But their question was, look, we gave you all the support you needed on Brexit. Are you really saying that if we were attacked by the Russians tomorrow, you would not come to our aid and you would not provide the kind of help that we needed? That's
a
key question I think we have to confront.
That's what we do say.
We are saying that effectively. And I don't think it's any good enough anymore to remain
attached to this ostrich mentality. We have to see ourselves as part of the European mainstream. And I think that means acknowledging that we have responsibilities and obligations, as well as all the advantages of membership.
Okay, that for you, Donoghue, is an anathema, isn't it?
Well, what I'd say is, like, I mean, my view and Sinn Féin's view in terms of neutrality is not either emotional, nor is it based on any sense of moral superiority. It is based on an analysis of what is in Ireland's interests and what we can offer how best we use our place in the world. The reality is that even with multiplication of our defence forces capability, how much we would add to any military situation and in a far-flung location would be extremely marginal and would enormously undermine our position, which is militarily neutral. We have never claimed to be politically neutral, but is militarily neutral. That has stood to us in terms of a situation such as election to the UN Security Council, which we were successful in recent years, and the status we enjoy. I appreciate that we're not seen as politically neutral, but I think it is in our interests to be militarily neutral, and what we would lose by abandoning that would not be in any way compensated, not even close, not even fractionally or marginally, by the benefit to locations such as that. What we need to do, what we do need to do, and what we can do is, where these situations arise, do we ensure that the sanctions that we support and are involved in are effective to the maximum degree? That is important. That hasn't actually been established in relation to Russia. There are still sanctions that could have been applied that were not applied, and that we were very vocal in relation to.
So you would say to the Baltic states, Donoghue, when they say, well, look, we supported you during Brexit, as they said to John when he was over there, you would say, well, we owe you nothing for that, really.
Well, like, I mean, what I would say in terms of the EU as a whole, like, leaving aside individual member states, is that, like, I mean, if you were to tot up a balance sheet in terms of the EU and Ireland's relationship to it, it isn't exactly, I think, as clear as all that. Yes, we did receive a degree of solidarity during Brexit. I would say that that was a situation where the interests of other member states aligned with that of Ireland, but we did appreciate the solidarity. But I would make the point as well that during the banking crisis that the EU institutions put a great deal of pressure on Ireland. So in terms of the EU as a whole, and I'm not singling out any particular member states, I wouldn't say that the balance sheet is exactly, that Ireland is entirely and totally in debt to Europe on each and every single issue. But, like, I mean, I think you could go down a rabbit hole on that regard. What I'm very clear on is I don't think that ensuring that we remain militarily neutral means that we don't invest properly in our defence forces. I think we should, that's the stated position, even though I must say I doubt it, of the government, to maintain military neutrality. Well, but what we need to do, and I returning to the point that we are primarily discussing here, our defence forces are underinvested in, they don't have enough equipment, they don't have the naval capacity, they don't have the cybersecurity capacity.
And you've made
all that
point.
Needs to be invested, and the government is handing money, or the Minister for Defence has been handing money back. It's appalling.
John, you're saying that
we should letdown of our personnel.
We should join NATO. That's what you're saying.
Well, I think we should have joined NATO a long time ago. And actually, if you go back and look at the attitudes of Irish Taoiseach in the 1940s and the 50s and 60s, there was definitely a view that we could be part of NATO. It was often tied up with the future of Northern Ireland, but there wasn't any ideological opposition to it. I think this has kind of grown over time. But we're in such a rapidly changing security environment, Claire, that NATO might no longer be a part of this if we come back and discuss this a year from now. If the United States disengages from Europe and Trump may not necessarily have to take the US out of NATO, but he has to just make Article 5, which is the mutual security guarantee, inoperable, then the whole security environment in Europe will change, and the European Union will have to take on really heavy lifting around defence and security. Now, in a way, this is already happening because the European budget is being somewhat reorganised. We have a European Commissioner for Defence for the very first time, but the environment could change again, very, very substantially if we see the United States withdrawing. And the question for Ireland then is whether our position of military neutrality is still compatible with our membership of the EU, where the European Union is going to become a defence and security actor in the way that NATO was previously.
But does NATO, being a member of NATO, or even suggesting it, does that make us safer or more vulnerable?
Well, the answer from the great majority of NATO European states is safer. There isn't even an argument about this. NATO is a defensive military security organization. And I think one of the kind of frames that is used in Ireland is that NATO is somehow this aggressive part of the American war machine. It isn't. If you go back to 2003, the American invasion of Iraq, most European NATO members were opposed to it, France and Germany especially. And if we go back to the arguments that Donica made about international peacekeeping and international development, many of those NATO states actually do more than we do. And we still seem to have this morally superior kind of holier-than-thou attitude to many of those states. So I think we have to get over that, but we also have to acknowledge how the security landscape is changing rapidly, and we're going to have to figure out where we fit into that landscape in the years ahead.
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll leave it there. Thank you both for joining us, John O'Brien and Donica O'Leary. Back after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.